Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you join me in 1 John? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 will be our starting point. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. We have just had Valentine's, and as I was thinking about Valentine's, I decided to entitle this Valentine's Communion, Live Love. Live Love. That will be our goal. I've always enjoyed Valentine's because it affords me another opportunity to express love and appreciation to people that I care deeply for. And I've been doing that for Mary Ruth now for about 38 years. Now, you wouldn't probably guess it, but I have a little Shakespeare in me. And so I'll always write Mary Ruth a poem, something like this. Roses are red. Violets are black. Mary Ruth, you give me a heart attack. Does that kind of touch you? I doubt it. But anyway, I always write poems. So what I did, and I've done this all throughout the years, I'll write all of the children a poem for that Valentine's breakfast. And then we'll have sweet chocolates and some fun things. Well, of course, the kids are gone, but Sarah was at my house yesterday, our daughter, Sarah Wolf Sizemore, and she brought two of our grandchildren, little Glory, who's 3 and a half, and Baxter, who's 17 months. And we initiated them into the Wolf tradition of Valentine's poetry. So I wrote them poems, and I had flowers, and we had some chocolates and little presents, and I always give Mary Ruth cashews because those are her favorites, and I always say, I'm nuts about you. You know, corny stuff like that. But what's that all about? It's just another opportunity to express love to the people around us. My friend, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be people who live love. It's interesting, I have a great esteem for a lady that I knew when I came here in 1981 named Lula Mae Culpepper. She's now in the grandstands of glory, but Lula Mae and I used to go visit senior adults together because in those days I was Kenny Holmes. I was the Joy Group minister, the senior adult minister, and we would make the rounds and go to all the shut-ins. And Lula Mae would invariably invite me to their funeral if they passed away, and we would go to their funeral, and every time we would walk out from the funeral after hearing this glorious eulogy, she would look at me and she would say, Jay, I want you to give me my flowers while I'm still living. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Yeah, it means that dead ears hear no cheers, dead noses smell no roses. It means don't delay. Tell people today that you love them. Live love. Express your love to people every day. I heard this funny story about this fellow who was terminally ill, and he was lying in his deathbed, and they were summoning the family. Well, his wife was in the kitchen cooking, and she made his very favorite, which would be hot chocolate chip cookies. Well, he got to smelling those cookies. Oh, man, hot chocolate chip cookies smell good. And that aroma filled the house, and somehow this fellow who was so sick, he just commanded the energy to come to him to get out of that bed. And he walked into the kitchen, and he walked up to those hot chocolate chip cookies. They were just still emanating steam, just came out of the oven. And he reached over to grab one, and his wife whacked him on the back of the hand with a spatula and said, you can't have one of those cookies. Therefore, your funeral. I think some people operate at that level. Remember, dead ears hear no cheers. Dead noses smell no roses. Don't delay. Live love right now while you have the opportunity. I want you to imagine that in just a few moments, when you receive that little wafer of bread and the little cup, that you are receiving a Valentine's from the Lord. In your imagination, you ought to transform that square piece of bread into a heart. And almost like one of those pieces of chocolates that say, I love you, or I'm crazy wild about you. Did you know that's what God thinks about you? And He wants you to transform this moment of receiving communion, which is what we have in common, the cross of Christ and His death on our behalf. He wants you to take this moment to not just intellectualize it, but to personalize it and to tangibilize it. You feel that wafer bread. You take that cup and you say, Lord, you did this for me. Make it real. Don't just take the elements. Let the elements take you into the presence of God. We'll do that now as we come to God's living word. It says in 1 John chapter 3, listen to verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. Would you please travel over to verse 14? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death and into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Now, friends, please give me your attention for just a moment. Verse 1 says we have this amazing capacity to trust Christ and become children of God. I've had countless people ask me this question. Jay, how do I know that I'm in? How do I really know that I'm in God's family, that I've moved out of death and into life? Well, here's the answer. Let me read it again. We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For whoever has the world's goods and behold his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. When I think of that admonition to live love, as Christ loved us, a story comes to mind that I want to share with you as a prelude to the receiving of communion. It's a story of Norbert Reinhardt. Norbert Reinhardt owned a drilling company. He had an oil drilling company, and they were big into South America, specifically into Colombia. He hired some people to go work in the oil fields and drill down in Colombia, and he promised them if anything happened to them, he would take care of them. Now, this fella, Norbert Reinhardt, is kind of a combination Indiana Jones and Jack Bauer. He's the kind of guy you want on your team in a tough spot. A 49-year-old CEO of this drilling company, a man's man and a half. Well, he got the word that he had hired 60-year-old Ed Leonard to go down and work on the Colombian drilling facility, and Ed got kidnapped, because kidnapping in Colombia is big business. Especially Westerners will be kidnapped, and they'll be held for a ransom. Well, Ed was kidnapped, and in that particular year, there were over 2,100 people kidnapped. And when the word got to Norbert Reinhardt that he had had a man lost, he made a prayerful decision. He stunned everybody by saying that he was going to go get Ed Leonard. His wife, Robin, begged him, no, you just can't do it. We've got two kids. You can't leave us. What if something happens to you? I couldn't take your loss. He said, honey, I made a promise to Ed that if anything happened to him, I'd take care of him. So Norbert packed his backpack, consisting of his toothbrush, some books, a camera, and $100,000. And he took off to South America. He got down there on October the 8th, and he found where the guerrillas could be contacted, and he had a meeting with them explaining that he had come to rescue, to pay the ransom for his friend, Ed Leonard. When he met him, he simply said to Ed as they shook hands, "Your shift is over, my friend. Go home, I'm taking your place." And he did. They let him go. They let Ed go. They took the money. And Norbert Reinhardt was in their custody for 2 months. He said it was subsistence living, mainly on rice and beans. He was sleeping on a mattress made out of ferns. And then unexplainably, after 63 days, they just turned him loose. I guess they couldn't take him anymore. I'm not sure. But they turned him loose, and he became this international sensation with the world press. When he came back, he simply summed up his experience by saying, "I did what I had to do. I kept my word to Ed Leonard." Now, my friends, that extravagant gift, that exchange, is precisely what King Jesus has done on our behalf. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he gives his purpose statement. He said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to ransom us, but he knew that within the transaction of the extraction, he would not walk out. He would be bloodied and beaten and bruised and broken and murdered. He knew that he would not survive. This is a gift of the greatest magnitude. It's revolutionary and radical. And he invites us to receive his gift of love and to share it with others. The scripture says that God has demonstrated his great love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The scripture further explains in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Why? So that we could be made right with God. This is what the salvation transaction means. Jesus Christ has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus received what he did not deserve so that we could receive what we don't deserve. He didn't deserve that punishment of the cross, and we don't deserve his grace and eternal life with him in heaven. But he's given us this great gift. We celebrate it as we come now to communion. We celebrate the fact that the Father has invited us to be his children. He has forgiven us and set us free. Now, in just a moment, and John, would you and Stuart please uncover this table? We will distribute these elements, a small wafer of bread and a cup. Please know that at our church, we observe an open communion. That simply means that anybody who has given their life to Jesus Christ is welcome to participate. We don't have a closed communion only for the members of this church. This experience is open to anyone in the body of Christ. So in just a few moments after we pray, we'll distribute the bread and we'll distribute the cup. And it's my most sincere prayer that you will transform the elements, the bread and the cup, into an opportunity to tangibilize your faith, moving beyond the intellectual to a personal walk with God, moving beyond your head to your heart. Well, the Bible tells us that before you eat supper, you need to clean up. So let's do that in prayer. Gracious Father, oh, we cannot adequately thank you enough for what you did for us upon the cross. You had all of the sin of humanity compressed upon you, including our sin, including my sin, Lord Jesus. And I want to come here to thank you. Thank you that you did for me what I could not do for myself. I was condemned in death and darkness, incapable of even responding. And by your love and by your grace, Lord, you brought me into your family. Lord, I just can't thank you enough. Right now, Father, we ask that the spotlight of your Holy Spirit would be turned on, and whatever separates us from you, an attitude, an action, a relationship. Father, we don't want anything to pull us away from you. So if there's anything that looks like sin, Father, we surrender it to you and ask that you remove it from us. Father, would you prepare us right now to be clean of heart, that we might receive this bread and cup in a way that would honor and glorify you. We pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And they took the bread.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Daliana. Thank you, Anna. You have greatly ministered to us through the gift of music. God bless you. Jesus said, assemble the disciples for their last meeting. They took the elements of the Passover, the bread and the cup, and Jesus assigned new meanings. And he said that bread, the Passover bread, is now going to be like my body. And in the same way we break the bread, my body is going to be broken on your behalf. It will be bloodied and bruised and broken because I love you. And I'm giving this as my gift to you. I'm sacrificing myself for you. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. So you really ought to see this piece of bread in the shape of a heart. It's God saying, I love you more than you can imagine. Jesus further earlier explained in John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. He who takes that bread will never hunger. And they took the bread. I want you to see the cup a little differently. Yes, the cup is the cup of the Passover. Jesus explained that the cup would be the new covenant in his blood. But I want you to see it differently. We have the bread of remembrance, but we have the cup of commitment. The bread reminds us of what Jesus has done on our behalf, but the cup is a call to serve Christ with our best. And if you'll take this cup in your hand and transform it into a call to commitment, a contract to serve him, then this will become a tangible memory tool that God will use in our lives. And they took the cup. Thank you. you so much, Terry. Would you transform this little cup into a cup of commitment and to God's call for you to live love every day, beginning in the laboratory of your home? I'd suggest that you make every day Valentine's Day, where you freely express your love one to the other. I would suggest that wherever you go, school or the workplace, to recreation, that you would live love and that you would become a living advertisement for our living Lord. I would suggest that to the stranger, to the unlovely, you would purpose to become God's agent, His ambassador, that person who lives love. And if you would embrace this assignment, make this your contract, your cup of commitment. And if so, they took the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.